With the Lord's help, let us turn together to read from Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. I've read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before him in prayer. This chapter begins with a reflection upon the need to be hearers of God's word and to hear the message that God is proclaiming to us through Jesus Christ. And as we came in and sang the hymn with one another, it was very fitting that this hymn was selected, which said, and we said, let us with deep meditation hear the Savior speak to us, to proclaim his great salvation in the message of the cross. 'Tis a blessed word revealing the eternal fount of healing, and that Jesus Christ, our Lord, full redemption doth afford. Wilt, Lord Jesus, daily open every heart unto thy word? May obedience betoken that we prize the grace conferred. Unto praise and consecration, grant thy Spirit's inspiration. Let us be, through grace divine, holy and forever thine. Words of a hymn that truly express a heart that desires to hear and that follows through with what it says here, to give the more earnest heed to the words that we have heard, lest we should let them slip. This deep meditation with which we can come before the Word and hear its message for us would make our hearts yearn and hunger and thirst. And the Lord can provide the filling to that hunger and thirst as we seek to know him, as we seek to understand and appreciate more what he has done for us, what he has gone through, and how he is able to help us in our hour of need, in our hour of temptation, even as we have read. The first few verses of this chapter say, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The message that comes forth from God through Jesus Christ is a message of salvation. It is a message of reconciliation between God, who is almighty and perfect and holy, and man, who has gone astray, who has rebelled against him, and in need of cleansing and restoration, in need of a sacrifice. And God himself has provided. Maybe when man was not even looking, God sent in the quietness one who did not lift up his voice, who was not heard in the streets, but one who came in meekness, in simplicity, but with a message that was powerful and spoke to those who were cast down, who were needy, who were weary and heavy laden, who were tired of this world's vanity, in need of true rest, in need of true refreshing. And truly, there is no other source of peace and hope that can be found in this world. Though many would seek to give a path to better our lives and improve things, improve our situation, or people in power may say that they have the answer. Follow me and things will be better. Is it true? No, there's only one way of true peace and joy and eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to deal with the consequences of our actions and the just judgment that is awaiting everyone outside of Jesus Christ. And this message of salvation, this message of reconciliation, is the message that Jesus Christ brought, a message of his kingdom. And if we would neglect that message, there's no other hope. It's amazing when a message comes. You know, there's some sound that's associated with it. There's a little beep or a little music, and people are checking, is that me? Is that message for me? A lot of those messages that we hear or that we hear announced, we could probably ignore, but not this one. If we neglect so great a salvation, there's no way of escape, my friend outside of Christ. You cannot ignore this message and go along as if nothing happened. There will be a consequence, and you will need to answer for how you responded to this message. You cannot simply mark it as unread and say, I'll come back to that later. Don't do that with Jesus Christ. Don't do that for your own soul. And say, a more convenient day, even as we sing, I'll come. Because the word is given to you now. The word, as Jesus said, it's sown now. And it lands on hearts. And those who are hardened to it and don't receive it, you have an enemy that wants to take that away. And you won't get the benefit. Once it's gone. So let your prayer and my prayer be that we would not harden our hearts, but they would give earnest heed to the word of salvation, to the beauty and the power of the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, and that God has sent him to be our Savior, the one true Lamb of God. This message was first began to be spoken of the Lord, was confirmed by the apostles and the disciples as they went out preaching the word. And there were signs and wonders that confirmed the validity of their message and the power behind it. I recall that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians about he came to them and he preached the word, but not just a word like men speak, but one word that was accompanied by power. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not only a word that was spoken, but also a word that was lived and demonstrated. And God is willing to demonstrate his wisdom and his power as he had in this time. He said that God bears them witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And we read of those things that take place in the book of Acts. So this is an important message. It's one from someone with, you could say, a reputation, who's been faithful. How many prophecies had gone forth of Jesus' birth that were fulfilled? He stays true to his word. And we can also take courage and hope and strength that when God asks of us to take a step in faith or a step in obedience, which are one and the same, that God will also provide the strength that we have need of. He knows the way. All we need to do is to follow, to listen to his message, and even as we heard this morning, anyone who wants to follow him, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. He quotes here of Old Testament scripture. It says, Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. God had given man dominion over creation, over the animals. And yet now we see What do we control? You know, there may have been a time in our lives when we thought that we had control over things. We could mold the how things transpired and what happened to us, and we had some control over life. But we learn with time. We don't have any control. The amount of control that we have is just as much as if we take one breath in, that's it. Beyond that, we need to take more breath in to live. We need something from outside of us to help sustain our life. On our own, we have nothing, and we're just as good as one single breath. But should we be looking at ourselves and what we can do? Should we be looking at our circumstance and weeping? The writer of the Hebrews says, we see Jesus. The situation and the condition of man is a sad one, is one that if we take earnest heed to it, if we let it sink down into our hearts, it will bring us to our knees because of the sadness that sin has wrought in this world. But God has sent a lamb. And now we have the opportunity to cast our eyes upon him. And we are invited to do so, to see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And here is a very personal and close message, one that has application for each of us individually, that he has tasted death for everyone. We were exhorted this morning to consider who is Christ, who is Jesus. Who do we say he is? And to realize that he has been the one who has tasted death for me is a real great reason for thanksgiving and appreciation to the Lord. And it says, it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, this one who is so worthy of glory and honor and praise, worthy of the angels lifting up their voice, saying glory to God in the highest, that this one, as he does the work of bringing many souls unto salvation and many sons unto glory, that he would be complete in the sufferings that he endured. He is worthy of glory, and he is worthy of our praise. And yet, he came near, he came close to us, was willing to partake in this flesh and blood, and even as we prayed, and as it is mentioned in this passage of Scripture, became a man like us and suffered. And now we, who are instructed to look upon him, to look to him with faith and trust, can also see one who understands us, one with whom we can have fellowship with, when we endure trials, when we are suffering. He says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." The disciples often asked Jesus, "Who is the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom?" Or sometimes they asked, "Are there many that be saved? Is it going to be this group? Is it going to be that group? Is it going to be us? Is it going to be them?" This word says, "He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." Do you wonder who is God's child? Do you wonder who belongs to him? Do you wonder who has hope of eternal life? Those that are one with God through Jesus Christ, they have hope. They have joy that is awaiting them. And they are being sanctified. They are being set aside. They are being dedicated for God's use. There's no question about, did you do something in your past? Did you say the right words? And now everything is good? That's not even in the picture. Are we one? God asks, are we one? You and I. There need not be anyone who says no, because God has provided the means by which we can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Are we one? Are we together? Are we in unity? Are we working in concert? The Lord asks us. What is he doing in my life and in your life to make me more dedicated, ready in his service, more sanctified? He that sanctifieth, he that is doing this work, and those that are yielding to it are one. They are walking in the garden in the evening together. They are fellowshipping. They have regained that which was lost. For he has found his straying sheep, and he brings it back home so that they might be one. And that was Jesus' prayer to his Father before his crucifixion. He prayed, "Father, may they be one as you and I are one. Bound together in unity. Bound together. As Jesus speaks the words, we hear them and we follow because we are close, we are one. And we all value and take those words of Jesus Christ as precious. And he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Though the world may not have much use for us, though we may not be the ones that the world is acclaiming or wants to be with, he knows what it is like to suffer and be rejected. And he's okay with that, if it be his Father's will. And he will not leave or forsake when our friends turn their back on us. When we give up our life, even as it is read this morning, for Christ's sake and for the gospel's, he will be faithful. He will not be ashamed to call us his brethren. And he will declare the name of the Lord unto the brethren, and in the midst of the church will sing praises. And again, here's what we need to do. to put our trust in him. And he, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, that we might be part of the family of God, close to him yet again. And so it reiterates here again that we who are the ones who were to be reconciled, flesh and blood, that Christ himself also took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, there was no way to break that band but to destroy the one that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so he had to go to the cross. That was part of his mission. That was part of why God had sent him. And Peter rebuked him this morning in our reading. But that's why he was sent. And that was the way that he destroyed him that had power of death, that is the devil. And that is the way that we can overcome. Through our faith in him. He's the only means. He's the only lifeboat that is available in the storm of this sin-darkened world. And he has come to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Always held captive. Never free. Which is probably difficult for us to put our minds and understand, having maybe be able to say, we can do what we please. But only those who try on their own to please the Lord and to follow him, they find that no, they have been in bondage. They have been unable to do what they know they should. And they are in need of help. They are in need of a deliverer. And Jesus Christ is that one and only help that we need. And so he took upon him not the nature of angels, but took upon him the seed of Abraham. And he continues with us. He continues with us as a faithful and merciful priest concerning the things of God. When we desire to relate to God and understand him, we can seek the Lord through Jesus Christ. And he teaches us. He says, come and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And he is faithful. He is abiding. He is our help that we need day by day to overcome and to stay faithful to our promises. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, Scripture says, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to help. He is able to comfort and calm troubled hearts who are needing relief, who are needing rest. This world always has some overtime for us. There's a hymn that says, all my lifetime I had panted for a drink from some cool stream that I had hoped would quench the longing of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husks around me until my strength was almost gone. Only still to hunger on. But the refrain, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. A simple testimony of faith, of trust, of love, to guide and keep us in the word and the message that he has sent to us. May God bless his word. Amen.
The first few verses of Hebrews chapter 1 that Brother Robert read say that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The word of God's Son is final. The perfect, complete, full message from God the Father came, was delivered by his Son. There is no other message to be heard after his Son. There are other religions and even other sects of Christianity that believe that there is another revelation after Jesus Christ. What other revelation is there to receive other than that message that comes from none other than the Son of God, who is the heir of all things and by whom God also made the worlds? This is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and even as we pray together, it is at his name that every knee will bow. So with that being said, now that we know that, how can we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no escape for us. If we reject Jesus Christ, if we reject the Son of God, there is no escape for us. The devil will lie to us, as he has throughout all history. He will lie to us and tell us there is a way of escape other than through Jesus Christ. That's even what he said in the Garden of Eden, when he told Adam and Eve, you shall not surely die by disobeying God. But God meant it when he said they would die. God meant it. But it was through God's mercy that they were not consumed. It was by God's mercy that Adam and Eve did not die in the flesh. And even so today for us, it is only through God's mercy that we are alive. We have another chance to draw back unto him. Those of us who are converted and unconverted alike, when we make mistakes, when we fall, when we sin, let's not call sin something else than what it is. When we sin, it is by God's mercy that we are not consumed. He gives us by his grace and his mercy a chance to come to him in repentance. Why would we neglect that? Why would we neglect so great a salvation? If we do, again, there is no salvation for us. But Jesus Christ has power. He has power over death. Even as we have read in here in Hebrews chapter 2, by dying and by rising from the dead, Jesus Christ has power over death. He has power over the one who previously had control over death, which is the devil. Jesus Christ is victorious, and he's calling us as well to be victorious with him, to be victorious over this world, to be victorious over our flesh, to be victorious over sin and temptation. He's giving us all that we need. He's giving us all the tools we need to be successful, to be victorious, is only in Jesus Christ. May we never neglect so great a plan of salvation, but give ourselves wholly unto him daily. May God bless his word in our hearts in this day. Amen.